Thank you, Brother Rick. Thank you, church family, for being here today. And thank you for those of you again that are worshiping online with us. The first passage we'll look at in a moment is James chapter 1. So if you take your Bible and turn to James chapter 1, as you're doing that, let me say a few things. I want to thank so many of you for adjusting today to this situation that we find ourselves in. So thank you for those of you that got the word about us not having a Bible study this morning.
I don't have an answer for that.
I don't either.
Is there anything else I can help with?
No, ma'am, you cannot. Thank you so much. I put this on Do Not Disturb, and I've got something going on here that, there we go. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for adjusting today. Many of you got the word, most of you did, about us not having Bible study this morning, trying to do what we can to keep people in less of a close proximity so that we can do our part that we were urged to do through our community. So we are doing that this morning. Some of you joining us online as a result. But thank you. Thank you for your adjusting. Thank you for those of you that might not have got the word, and thank you for being gracious to us and a patient. But thank you. Next week, we will not have Bible study as well. We will continue the two services, so that gives us space. But we want to continue to be faithful to God, trust Him, but yet at the same time do what we can. So thank you for your adjustment to that. I also want to say a very, very thankful thank you to all of you praying for Pat and praying for us in the heart procedure that she's had this week and a couple of weeks ago as well. So thank you. She's recovering and getting better each hour and each day. So we're so very thankful for that. So God bless you. Prayer makes so much difference, and we are humbled. There are a number of people that are sick and that you pray for and that are praying for now, and it makes such a difference. God has given us such a miraculous thing called prayer that we can come to Him and plead for mercy in our time of need boldly to the throne of grace because of Jesus. And what a privilege that is. So thank you once again. We finish our series today, Real People, Real Questions, Real Answers. We answer the question today, how can I study the Bible more effectively by myself, personally? How can I study the Bible more effectively, personally, or by myself? There are many people that recognize that the Bible is very important, but a lot of people don't study it personally. As a matter of fact, a 2019 survey, a year, this survey, one-third of Protestant churchgoers. So we're not talking about the nation as a whole. We're not talking about people worldwide. Protestant churchgoers in America, one-third of them do not read the Bible daily. That's hard to believe. But one-third of them do not read the Bible. That's as early as this last year. Some people apparently think it is not relevant for today. Apparently some people are too busy. Apparently some people don't think the Bible applies to daily life. Some people assume that Bible study is only something you do periodically or weekly or a few times a week. Or some people maybe simply don't have, as often that we do, we don't have the priorities in the right order, and so we don't prioritize reading Scripture. But we should be looking to Scripture daily, and God will speak to us. God will not often speak in an audible voice, but God will speak to us anytime and every time we look to His Word. And I pray that you are doing that. I hope that you look at God's Word as an encounter with Him, because it is. There's many different opportunities we have to encounter the Lord. One of those, and the one most prominent, and we have the greatest opportunity, is His Word. If you'll remember in Ephesians 6, the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, is the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit wants to prompt God's Word in you. Many people, the Bible is something that they look to daily. For many people, if you thought of your body and you think of your mind and your heart being Christ, many people think of the Bible as breathing. as the Bible as blood in our veins, or the Bible is food for nourishment of our body. Some people recognize how important it is to know, and more than just know, to know about, but to apply and live in the Word of God. So without it, many people feel like if they don't have God's Word and study it, many have recognized that it's like a car without an engine. It's like a house without a roof, or it's a body without a heartbeat. God's Word is so important that we study. There's a German philosopher and theologian, Soren Kierkegaard, and he says this: the Bible is very easy to understand, but we Christians are a bunch of scheming swindlers. We pretend to be unable to understand it because we know very well that the minute we understand, we are obliged to act accordingly. I think many people are that way. When we understand it, look at it, we're going to have to do something about it. And a lot of people simply don't want to do that. Dr. Jim Dennison says this: I would contend that the size, organization, and complexity of the Bible presents a foreboding challenge for some. But he goes on to say, although comprised of 66 books written by dozens of authors across centuries and spanning hundreds of pages, none of us need to be hesitant to regularly and purposely read God's Word. Don't let it overwhelm you, because God intends for you to know it, can enable you to know it, no matter your education, no matter your background. You simply have a hunger for it, God will enable you to understand it. I want us to look at several passages of Scripture that speak to God's Word. We'll make a comment about each one of those. We'll look at a few more. Then we'll make some personal application about how you can make God's Word more applicable daily in your life. James 1, verse 22 through 25. Please stand, if you would, in honor of the Lord and the reading of His Word. James 1, verse 22. The Holy Spirit, God, spoke to James and spoke this: do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Some translations say, be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Verse 23, anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me make this statement about God's Word and about this particular passage. I believe this passage simply says, if I don't put the Bible into practice, I am foolish. It says, I'll be blessed if I apply it and live it out. So that means if I don't, I won't be blessed. I won't have the life God really intended if I don't apply it to my life. Hebrews 4, verse 12, a familiar passage maybe for some of you, says this in Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I would make a simple statement about this passage saying, because God speaks to me through His Word, He alone gives me wisdom and discernment through it. God speaks, not audibly often, but He speaks and reveals Himself. He guides us. He directs us. He protects us. When we started this series in July, so we've been in this series for 5 months, basically, we started with, is the Bible reliable and relevant? This was one of the passages we looked at. And today we finish with speaking about the Bible being applicable for life. How can I use it and rely upon it more effectively? God gives us wisdom through His Word. It says that He divides, He's able to penetrate our very souls, our very spirits, our very bodies, and bless when we apply His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16, another great passage of Scripture regarding God's Word. Verse 16 and 17, 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God is thoroughly equipped, or may be thoroughly equipped, for every good work. All the things that God wants you to experience, you will experience those when you look and follow and live out from His Word. Martin Luther said this several centuries ago, the Bible is the cradle where Christ is laid. Jesus is the Word of God is the very presence of Jesus in our life. Dr. Jim Dennison says, studying the Bible is a necessity for a vibrant Christian life. The Bible is the heartbeat and breath of God pouring into me. It is a necessity for everyday life. I hope you've learned to see it that way. Let's look at a few other passages of Scripture. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman or a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Many of you are familiar with the ministry called Awana that's been around for about 30 years. Awana means a workman approved, is not ashamed. And it's not Awana's, it's Awana. And this is the verse for Awana, that we should correctly handle the word of truth. It ought to be something that we live out and daily we practice into our life. Remember when Jesus was in the temptation experience, Satan tempted him like he does us. And he tempted Jesus, hey, turn these stones into bread. Remember, Jesus had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and so he was very hungry. Jesus was tempted to focus on lesser things of life. And Jesus said these words, man will not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes or proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus tells us how important it is to know and live out and practice the Word of God. Some of you that are familiar with the Joshua Code from Dr. O.S. Hawkins, it comes from this next verse, Joshua 1, verse 8. There's 52 weeks of devotions that he's come from this one verse. Joshua 1, 8 says this, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. From these three verses that we just looked at, 2 Timothy 2:15, Matthew 4:4, Joshua 1:8, I want to make three statements. These three scriptures answer these questions. How do I communicate with God and respond to God? Many people ask, well, how can I hear from God? God's Word. How do I respond to God? God's Word tells us how to do that. The Bible tells us, guides us, how to respond to God and communicate with Him. The second question from Matthew 4:4, how do I live my life correctly? Jesus said, man will not live on bread alone. It's not about the physical that we often focus on in life. It's about the spiritual. And Jesus said, you don't live on the physical. What you do is you live on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's pretty pointed. That's pretty everyday, isn't it? And then the third thing from Joshua 1:8, then you will be, how will you be successful and prosperous? We can be successful and prosperous in the truest sense when we live out God's Word. What is true success? What is truly valuable? What is true wealth? What is true treasure? We find that from the Word of God. How do I learn the basic necessities of life? How do I learn to ride a bicycle? How do I learn to cook? How do you learn to maintain a vehicle? How do you learn to learn? How do you learn math? How do you learn science? How do you learn history? All of these require being taught. You need someone and textbooks to teach you. Well, how do you learn life? You learn that through the Bible. the Word of God. That's how you learn to live. The Bible teaches me history. The Bible teaches me science. The Bible teaches me relationships. The Bible teaches me values. The Bible teaches me wealth. The Bible teaches me how to deal with people. The Bible teaches me about finances. The Bible teaches me about sex. The Bible teaches me about success. The Bible teaches me about what is most important, to have real life and true life. That's what the Bible teaches me. So let's look at several approaches. What are the approaches we should take in reading Scripture and applying it to our daily life? What are some approaches? First of all, meaning. When you read a passage of Scripture daily in your own personal time, you should ask yourself, what do these words mean? It's important for you to understand what language the Bible is written in. Sometimes it's good to have word studies. I'll talk about some resources in just a moment. But it's important to understand the meaning of the word. Sometimes it's important to know the historical context. It's important sometimes to know if you're talking about the period of the patriarchs, the first five books of the Bible. It's important to talk about the kings in that section, or the judges, or the prophets. It's important to talk about the gospels and what was going on during that time. It's important to know about the Acts of the Apostles. It's important to know about the epistles of the apostles. So it's important to know where you are in Scripture and what some of those periods of time and what some of the meanings. So it's important to know the meaning of the words. To do this, often you need to move from a particular scripture, you need to know something about a particular verse, a particular chapter, a particular paragraph in that chapter, a particular section of a book, and a book of the Bible, and even a section of Scripture. So it's important to know the meaning and to learn the meaning of particular words in Scripture. Because often, let's say, just for example, a lot of people look at the word believe, and they think of it as having a knowledge of. Someone would say, I believe that Michael Jordan was the greatest basketball player that ever lived. Well, that makes no difference in your life. You might have a fact. The word believe means to depend upon. It means to have faith in. It means to trust in. So it's important to know the meaning of words. Secondly, an important approach to Scripture. Not only meaning background, it's important for you to know some history, as I've mentioned, but also the context of a passage of Scripture, the circumstance in which that passage was written. As a matter of fact, when you look at the book of Hebrews, it's important to know that was to early Jewish believers. So it's very important to know that, so you'll know why certain things are framed as they are. So background is important about the specific scriptural text. Is it about, again, some of those sections of Scripture that have a little bit more specific meaning? So know the meaning of words. Know the background of a scripture. Third thing, look at what is supernatural in the passage. What spiritual meaning do these words convey? You might think in normal life, as we would say, that certain things mean something. What spiritually is this talking about? What theological truths, what foundational bedrock truths is this trying to make in my life? Because we can know certain things in daily life, but we need to know spiritual truths. So what supernatural is going on? What is God telling me to do that's not the norm in a supernatural sense? So what spiritual meanings do these words convey? And then lastly, of this section at least, important approaches, applications. What are practical things does this passage have in mind for me to apply today, to apply to my life right now? What applications? What should be a practice I do daily as a result of reading this verse? So what practical applications? What priorities do I need to live by based on this verse? What changes do I need to make? What changes do I need to trust God to make in my life? What are the applications? So several approaches: meaning, background, what is supernatural that we need to focus on, and what are the applications. Some people use this approach. I know our student ministry uses this approach, and you can use this approach personally, or in a group setting when you have a group discussion about a passage of Scripture. In a sense, some people might not even have a study or background of a particular passage, but here's some questions to ask. After reading a passage, what does it say about God? What does it say about people, about man, men and women? What was going on during the period of time that this passage was written? And then fourthly, what application does it mean for me now? So it's a very similar approach. These, a lot of people use that personal approach as well as a discussion approach. What does it say about God? What does it say about people? What was going on during this period of time and in this passage? And then what does it mean for me now? That's one way to look at it. It's important to use other resources. I would encourage you to, at times, use a Bible dictionary so that you can understand a little bit more about what's going on. Sometimes you can use your concordance. It's not an exhaustive Bible dictionary, but the concordance in the back of your Bible sometimes is helpful. Sometimes you can use a Bible encyclopedia. Sometimes I would encourage some of you to get a commentary. And maybe sometimes there's a whole Bible commentary. It's not greatly in depth, but it at least helps you. And then some of you, even a step toward that, is a study Bible. And there are a number of good study Bibles. So I would encourage you to use resources at times. And again, this is not for you to be ready to teach a Bible study. This is for you to know more of who God is, what He means, and what He wants you to learn and apply in your personal life. So those are four approaches to Bible study. Let's look at some impactful ways to study the Bible personally. Let's look at five things here. Impactful ways to study the Bible personally. When you read a passage of Scripture, at least each day, write down one verse, write out the Scripture in a translation that is a good one for you. Now, what I mean by is, don't use the most contemporary English or a paraphrase. Sometimes those are helpful in study as a resource. I wouldn't recommend those as your go-to verse, but a verse that you are comfortable memorizing the Scripture from, but write it out. Write out a verse each day. I for years, was challenged as a student to journal daily, and so for many years I did that, and that really set me on a good course spiritually. And so journal, in other words, each day you write out some prayers, you write out some application, but here's the first step. Write the verse out, and then afterwards, write it out in your own words. Write it out verbatim from that translation that you feel is good. Then write it out in your own words. It's very important for you to do that. So journaling helps you do that. So write it out. Secondly, look at the differences in characters. In other words, the contrast of people in a particular passage. Often, the Lord gives us passages that tell us, okay, this is one approach to life. Here's another approach to life. And I'll give you some examples in a moment. Does the passage show a contrast in response to God? Let's give for example. In Luke chapter 16, you have Lazarus, Jesus tells the story about Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus didn't have much in life, and the rich man had everything in life, but their roles are switched in heaven and hell, they find themselves. And so you see the contrast between what happens when we focus on this world and what happens when we focus on what's truly being rich is knowing the Lord. One, if you just focus on this life and this world and don't have Jesus, then you'll end up in hell. But if you focus on Jesus and focus on the things that God provides and trust in Him, no matter what you have and what situation you find yourself in life, you'll end up in God's presence. So you see a contrast in people. In Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 1, we see that Jesus went throughout the towns and villages and saw the people and had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. You see the contrast between God and people. People are running around, they're harassed, they're helpless. But here God is having compassion on them, loving them, healing every disease and sickness, having compassion on people that don't know what really life is about. And so you see the contrast between God and man. So it's so important in the characters looked at in a particular passage to look at the contrast or the differences in those characters. In Matthew chapter 6, you remember when Jesus talked about praying. What did he say? He said, don't pray on the street corner so you can be seen and people be impressed with your praying. He said, go to your room. Some translations say, go to your closet. So Jesus told us the contrast of, hey, pray alone. Just make sure it's from your heart to God. Don't worry about flowery words to impress people. Real prayer is from you to God. So again, write it out. Secondly, differences in characters or contrast those characters in a passage. Number three, the context of then. What did the passage mean to those in the time of the writing? And we've talked about this a little bit. When you see Jesus and his disciples on the Sea of Galilee, you think, oh, well, that doesn't apply to me because I'm not a fisherman. That doesn't apply to me because I don't get out on water. That doesn't apply to me because I don't like boats. No, what Jesus is teaching us there is that the Sea of Galilee, with all the surroundings, with the mountains on one side, that being the topographical and geographical situation as it is below sea level, there was things happening. You never know when storms will come. That was that particular region, what was happening. But Jesus was talking about life. We never know when we're going to face storms. We never know when we're going to be in rough waters, not physically, but in situations and circumstances. So it's important to know what was going on. And again, in a minute, we'll look at the application of that. So what application is it now? When Jesus, the fourth thing, so context of then, what application now? When Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, what application does that have? Hey, there are times, even when Jesus is close and you're close to him, storms are still going to come. That's one of the things you see. What's the application now? Hey, even when I'm close to Jesus, still difficulty is going to come. Okay, what else? When Jesus was with the disciples, he walked on the water. It shows us that Jesus is above normal circumstances, that Jesus can do beyond what I can think or imagine. And sometimes we see that, like Peter, who asked to walk on the water, Jesus allowed him to do that. So sometimes we need to have water walking faith. We don't need to have knee depth faith. We don't need to have I'm staying in the boat faith. Sometimes we need to have water walking faith. So that's some of the application as you see. So what's the application now? And then number five, try to define the action. What does this really mean for me? In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he would deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus said this, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So what does it mean to deny myself? It means that I don't need to trust in me. I don't need to make life about me. I must let me be behind and Jesus be first. To follow him, deny myself, take up my cross. So I'm going to follow him, and even to the cross, even to difficulty, even to persecution at times like Jesus, and follow him even when it's not easy to do. So we need to define, you need to study the Bible and say, what does that mean for me? What is this really speaking about for me? What does it mean to follow Jesus? What is a true believer? Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, that's what it means to be a disciple, is one who follows after. So it's not just someone that has a knowledge of God. It's someone who follows, someone who has activity, spiritual activity, who has action in their life. So impactful ways is write it out. Look at the differences in characters. Look at the context of then. What is the application now? And then what is the action I need to define? Third thing, last thing, let's look at the critical steps to apply God's Word. As we've seen already, we've looked at approaches. We've looked at how to really get the most out of patches. But here's the impactful way for Christ to touch your life. What do we need to do? First of all, recognize the Holy Spirit must reveal Scripture to you. The Holy Spirit has to reveal Scripture to you. The Bible and God's will for your life is spiritually discerned. You have to have Him to help you figure it out. Some people say, you know, I've read the Bible, I don't understand it. We have to realize every day, we have to have the Lord help us to understand it. The Holy Spirit has to illumine our minds. He has to awaken our spirits to what's going on in His heart, in our heart. So it has to be spiritually discerned. He must reveal to you God's will. Because remember, it's God's word, it's God's work, it's God's will. So that has to be spiritually discerned. Those are spiritual things that God wants to do. They must be spiritually discerned, revealed to you by God Himself through His Spirit. So recognize that as you're reading the Word each day, be dependent on the Spirit at work, or you're not going to get it unless you recognize that. So number one, the Spirit must reveal, Holy Spirit must reveal. Number two, surrender your heart, mind, and will. Why do you need to do that? Because you cannot fill something that's already full. If you're full of yourself, if you're full of the world, if you're full of some other philosophy or teaching apart from Jesus, you must surrender your will and allow yourself to be emptied so you can be filled by Him. God cannot fill you if you're not empty, abandoned of yourself. God cannot, you know, if you have a glass full of liquid and you want something else to drink, well, you'll have to empty that before you can fill it with something else. Let me give you a few examples from Scripture. As we've already mentioned, Luke 9:23, anyone who must come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And then Jesus begins to fill. You think about Romans 12:1-2. In view of God's mercy, present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to discern what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. You think about Hebrews 12. In Hebrews 12:1-2, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us persevere. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. So recognize that we must surrender our heart, mind, and will. Attitude, practices, activities. Surrender it all to Him daily. So, the Holy Spirit must reveal, surrender your heart, mind, and will daily. Thirdly, ask God to speak to you. When you're reading a particular passage of Scripture, before you read it and after you read it, God, speak to me. Show me what you want me to know today. Show me, God, how I can apply this today. God, help me to live this out. After you read it, Lord, illumine my mind to what I've just read. Help me. Guide me. Show me. Fill me. Empower me. Ask God to speak to you again, to show you His will, to show you what it means, to guide you, to fill you, to empower you. I want to read two passages of Scripture as we begin to get ready to close. Psalm 19 and Psalm 119 are some of those psalms that speak much about God's Word. Listen to what Psalm 19 says. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. In this passage, when the psalmist recognizes what God does through His Word, in the first part of the psalm, he talks about God's heavens and what God has created. When we put those together, realizing who God is, what He's done for us, and what He can do through His Word, the psalmist ended Psalm 19 with this: may the words of my heart, my mouth, and the words, meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 119, you're familiar with, it says this: how can a young man keep his way pure, or keep on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. God's word helps us to live life, to live life eternally, fully, abundantly for him. Dr. Jim Dennison says this: God's word is both intimate and relatable. It is a beautiful mapping of the story of creation, the fall, redemption, and restoration that can bring perspective and joy to the body, mind, spirit, and soul of all who read and believe. It's my prayer that you think of the Bible this way. You think of it as the most valuable thing you own, better than your favorite meal or dessert, more exciting than any vacation you will ever take, more rewarding than any amount of money you'll ever have, more fun than your favorite time with family as a get-together or reunion, more important than your career. It's my prayer that you remember that the Bible is a conversation with the Father. It's a conversation with your best friend. It is a conversation with the one who loves you the most. It is a conversation with the one who is most gracious to you. The Bible is a conversation with the one who desires your greatest successes. It's my prayer that you apply and live out God's word. The Holy Spirit and Jesus will present himself clear to you when you do. Would you bow with me? Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for what you do for us and what you provide for us. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would cause us to live it out, to be doers of the word, to practice it. Lord, may the things we've talked about today enable us to live from your truth, to live knowing that you are the Logos, you are the word, you are the explanation, you are the application, you are the revelation. Jesus, thank you. Lord, help us daily to live out of every word that proceeds from your mouth. Jesus, I pray if there's someone here today that does not know you, Jesus, you would open their hearts and minds to you. Holy Spirit, have your will and way in the hearts of people. Open their minds, hearts, and wills to you. God, speak, we pray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Knowing Jesus is the first step. Once you've trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, He enables you to hear. He enables you to be quickened, to be able to understand God's Word. I pray if you've not trusted Jesus, you'll trust Him today. Consider His claims, consider what God's Word says, and trust Him as Lord and Savior. If you need help with that, there'll be some here. You can certainly contact the church, and we'll be able to visit with you. I pray that today God would challenge you to apply His Word, to read it daily, to live out of who He is in your life and from His Word. If we can help you take another step toward your faith, allow us to do that. Some of you can come and make this an altar of prayer. Some of you can make a commitment right there where you are. Maybe some of you can come as we have some of our staff and others here. Let's stand together. Let's respond as God's Spirit speaks to us.